This is the CC Radio Podcast.
John Snow, Johnny John Snow, Johnny Snow, John Snow, John Snow, John Snow, Danny, Danny, Dan, Danny, Henny, Danny, Henny, fucking Targaryen, fucking Danny, Danny, Tormund, Giant Rain, fucking Tormund, Tormund, Tory, Tormund, 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 big ass beard, yo, what's down? Howdy, hound, hound.
Welcome to episode 217 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. Today we'll be throwing around some truly classy fanboy action for you. My name is Wayne.
Yeah.
Did you say throwing or
thrown? Thrown. That's right. That's what I did there. That's how we roll.
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast of Countdown Movies. And today, television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to, except where we are limiting ourselves, as Wayne has so subtly alluded to Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones, son.
It's all over. The phenomenon that took the world by storm for
8 damn years.
8 years, 8 seasons, a year break in there as well, because I wanted to make the last season so epic. We'll find out whether they were successful by the end of this next hour or so. And we want to do today something a bit different for the show. We're not going to count down 10 to 1. We're going to do 2 top 5s.
Yes. The best and worst of Game of Thrones, everyone.
Yeah. And we're talking the whole damn series.
Whole series. All 8 years. What were the best 5 things? What were the worst 5 things about it?
And we didn't even limit ourselves to scenes or characters. We just wanted to be as generic as we humanly could. We will and can promise you that there will be a very large focus on season 8. In one of those countdowns. I'll let you work out which one.
I got some shit to say to you about season 8.
It might be. We'll get to that.
I know, we'll get to that.
So, Game of Thrones fans, hopefully you've joined us here, and you may disagree, you may agree. We love to hear your feedback.
You definitely disagree with some of it, man. I'm telling you.
That's usually the way. We did a number of weeks back, probably 8 weeks ago now, we did a episode, basically, which characters are most likely to die.
Yes.
Now, we got some things right. We got some things very, very,
very
wrong.
Very wrong.
You have to have seen the whole show to listen to this episode.
Hell yes.
Spoilers beware.
Spoiler warning.
Spoilers for the whole damn thing. We're not going to censor ourselves. Don't listen to this if you haven't finished the show and you intend to.
Yeah.
But if you have, please get on board.
Have at it.
Let's have a great time. All right. Some changes in my life since we last recorded, Wayne.
Yes.
I have run a half marathon.
Yeah, man.
Fell a little short of what I was hoping for in terms of a time.
That sounds like something a healthy person would say.
A little bit disappointed with, I have to admit. But I am back on the booze, is what it means.
Paul's pissed and he's funny again, everyone.
What?
No.
No, that's absolutely not true. I am always goddamn funny.
What? No.
Especially when I get the volume levels right.
You fucked yourself with your own sound.
I know.
Fair enough.
I had to go with myself.
Fair enough.
Yes,
fair enough.
That is right.
Well done.
So it's nice to be back here. I guess I won't tolerate Wayne's shit as much as I have been
like
doing.
Like you
the
ever
last
did before, motherfuckers.
Eatables. So there could be a bit of snark in this one. I don't know. I think we're on the same page, but we'll find out.
Oh no, there'll be some funny shit going on
in due course. Now look, plug time, Wayne.
Oh sure. There's an app called the Podcast Republic app.
A robust
and good ass
app for your podcast listening pleasure.
Go ahead and download that shit.
Listen to us and indeed all other podcasts if you have or are an Android user.
Give it a try.
Please do. All right. Come on, little bits and pieces. First of all, email from good friend to the show, and basically we can call him the official statistician of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
That's a big thing, given that you're here.
Well done, Campbell. You have graduated to that particular task. Last week we did Nolan versus Fincher, and we crowned Nolan a winner.
We did.
Campbell decided to take it upon his own broad statistical shoulders.
Holy shit, I just saw it on the screen.
Yep.
Look at this shit. There's a table.
He did. He wanted to give a sense of, well, you know, people were sort of Fincher, Nolan. What did, back when we, in episode 200, we asked our listeners for their top 10 films of all time. So he went and did a bit of analysis on which one got more films in there.
Holy crap.
Nolan or Fincher. We crown Nolan the winner. Campbell here says, so Christopher Nolan had 6 films that made it onto our top 100 films of all times, according to the listeners' list.
Okay.
David Fincher had 3.
Okay.
Number of people who voted for those movies, 39 versus 9 for Fincher. So 39 of our respondents voted for Nolan, 9 voted for Fincher. Total score 230 and only 46 for Four Fincher. So clearly our listeners
agree. I didn't
agree.
Understand any of that. What does this all mean, Paul?
Look, The Dark Knight was the number one film, according to our listeners, of all time.
Yeah, that makes sense. That was mine too, absolutely.
Campbell said, all right, well, let's take out Nolan then, in terms of number of votes. Oh, sorry, Dark Knight out of the equation. 15 people still voted for Nolan versus 9 people voting for Fincher.
So this means...
Long story short, Christopher Nolan wins, according to our listeners, as well.
Okay, god damn.
Thank you very much for that, Campbell.
Very impressive. You're smarter than me.
I looked very, very confused.
I messed up. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? What's this numbers shit? What?
We really, truly do appreciate that. I was also on a podcast this week, which has been released, on the Junk About Movies podcast.
I see.
I was on to talk about 1980s and year by year, the best... What's basically the best year of films in the 1980s with John Mark Junkins?
Okay.
Great time. I was also on with Justin from So I Made a Movie Geek, except we recorded separately. So we did alternate years, and apparently Justin was slating me the entire time. So Justin, this is to you.
Suck my dick.
Ah.
Yeah. It was a great time on the show, and do check out that episode. It's Junk About Movies.
All right.
All right, that's it for the preamble.
Yep.
Game of Thrones time.
Okay, kids, here it is. Game of Thrones. We're going to start with the top 5 things about Game of Thrones. By the way, a little something about this TV show. Paul, after the show started, I asked Paul, these novels, let me read them. Let me hear about them. Because Paul talked to me for years about how this is the one show that makes you actually kind of a fan of this crap. And I totally agree.
It's not crap.
I know. I mean, you know what I mean? Like this hack and sorcery and shit.
Epic fantasy. This is... arguably the pinnacle. I mean, Lord of the Rings.
I would say definitely for me, at least.
Lord of the Rings, I'm not as big a fan of the books as a lot of people are.
I genuinely dislike the books.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Wayne said it. Not me.
Movie's great.
So yes, you were interested to read the books.
Yeah.
And you did. And which is a big fucking thing.
It's a huge thing. I don't know how to read. So it's like, we had, like, after that first season where you're all obviously spoilers, where Ned Stark gets his head cut off. I'm like, how does anyone do that? Paul, does that happen in the books? Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Wayne went, let me, while I open a drink, let me. Let me read the books. And he did. He read all 5 books.
Which makes me even more of a cracker ass, like, fucking critic of things that happened in the show.
Look, inevitably there's going to be some comparison to the books of the series here in my discussion of the best and worst of the TV show.
Mm.
But I'm going to try and keep it as TV centric with that in mind.
Absolutely. It's about the show, not the books.
Yeah. Now, the last book in the series came out the year that the show premiered.
Good Lord, really?
Right. So it's been 8 years
that he hasn't made a sequel.
Since George R. R. Martin has moved his fat arm over to his chair that supports his fat ass and sat down and typed some shit.
Paul's a little salty about this thing,
yeah.
In case you haven't
noticed. Neil Gaiman got really dark at everyone about 5 years ago saying,
George Martin's not your bitch. Yeah.
I know he's not my bitch, but I think he owes his legion of fans a fucking book.
He must have a real good reason, but who knows?
Yeah, his real good reason is he's written himself into so many corners he's been trying to write himself out of.
That's probably it.
Which is reflected in the TV show with some of the decisions they ultimately
make. No doubt we're going to get into that.
Yeah. All right, well, look, we're doing the 5 best things first of all. Wayne. I'll lead away the best.
Yeah, you go ahead.
And I'll bring home the worst later on.
Word.
My number 5 best thing about Game of Thrones as an overall is how nuanced the characters are.
I would go ahead with that.
In other words, apart from some of the really despicable villains, the Ramsay Boltons, and the one overly heroic figure, which is Jon Snow, everybody else in this show is multi-layered and complex.
Absolutely.
And I think that world of grey, rather than black and white, if I can use that term, really works for me. There's a guy named David Eddings, if I go back to the books for a moment, who writes a series of novels.
I know of this author.
I can't even name the name of them off the top of my head. Everything in his world is absolute contrasting extremes.
One or the other.
The goods are the heroes and the bads are the evil. Mm-hmm. I hate that shit.
That's right.
I loved it when I was 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
Now as a middle-aged man, I'm like, fucking give me complexity, give me real life, give me something that I can relate to. And I think Game of Thrones, the TV show, and of course Martin's books before it, really did that super well.
I think that they actually sometimes do it too well, where I don't like that I now like someone. Like for instance, Jaime is the biggest prick in the whole world the first 2 seasons.
Yep.
Then Cracker loses his arm, then he gets all this thing, and now you're on his team. And then towards
the end... That's a character arc. That's growth.
No, it's absolute growth.
Let's not go into the end, because we'll talk more about that later.
Absolutely. That's fine.
But that's a great example. Even love him or hate him, and boy, there are a lot of people who hate him, Bran, he has a character arc.
Does he ever?
Right? Arya, what an amazing character arc.
Hers is probably the
Sansa,
coolest.
Wonderful character arc. So all these main characters.
We'll get into that.
Still, she changes through the course of the show, and she's not. She's good and she's bad. They're all good and they're bad, and that's they have their moments, I guess, where they do the wrong things and they make errors and they're human. And that's why I like one of the reasons I like the show so much.
Yeah, I agree completely.
That's my five.
Not bad. My number five. So you're more broad. I'm just talking about a scene that I shat my pants
on. Sure.
Dany flaming the Lannisters. This is season 7, episode 4, The Spoils of War. This is the first time we see a fully grown dragon and what it can really do. Basically, the Northmen and the Dothraki, led by Dany and Jon, are about to bust a cap on the Lannister camp. They've got all the spoils of their war, and basically they're about to get to King's Landing, but they get set upon by these dudes. Now, I got an actual chill when I saw, for real.
Say chubby.
Well, people were dying, so I'm not that kind of chubby guy, but like when the...
Oh, because of the dragons.
Well, the dragon flew over the actual riders and stuff, so that was, first of all, cooler than shit. But then when it started busting ass and started like flaming all the Lannisters and shit, even the Dothraki jumping up onto the back of their horse so they can fire arrows and stuff, this is a truly, in terms of how battles go, it was just really cool. And seeing Jaime and like Bronn, just their faces drop when they, holy shit, look at that dragon. It looked like the absolute, I've never seen anything like it. It was a daytime dragon battle, and it was way better than Lord of the Rings. In terms of the dragon-esque stuff, it was, because it was more involved. No?
I don't know if you can compare Lord of the Rings to this battle. One's on TV and runs for about 7 minutes. One's on the big screen and runs for about 45.
Well, sure. But in terms of like, say the dragon-related scenes in Lord of the Rings versus this scene, I mean, sure, it's years and years later, so the technology is way and way better, but...
Were there dragons in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, wasn't there?
No.
What was that thing that Gandalf was fighting off with his sword and his
like
fucking...
Like a big eagle or something?
Yeah, oh, okay. It was an eagle? It was an eagle? All right, fuck it. So it's definitely better than game then. Bitch, please. what can I say? Oh, by the way, there's this bit where Jamie rushes at the dragon at the end.
What? Absolutely going to die. And then Bronn tackles him
into
the water.
Yes, that is the only problem with this scene. There's no way that would happen.
Because they sink about 20 meters deep when it's right on the edge of the
That
of
is
the
already
riverbank.
Weird, but like, how did he even manage to get in front of Jaime and knock him off before this barrage of flames?
That said, as much as you want to shit on that moment, I think the other great thing about this scene is Bronn being a real hero.
Yeah. Well, there's a one scene where Bronn is about to joust with a Dothraki guy, right? And it's like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? He throws a knife at him. It doesn't quite work. And then the Dothraki guy swings to the side of his horse and cuts the leg off Bronn's horse. Now, that's horrible. But it actually...
We're not celebrating violence against
No. But it actually like is a move. Like, holy shit, how do you even do that? Then Bronn comes off and he has to go and get in the fucking scorpion thing and all that sort of shit.
Yeah, but the way he kills a whole bunch of Dothrakis and he jumps on the back of that thing and he's the one that almost brings about the end of a dragon.
Exactly.
And, like, you get to see that Bronn is not just a sellsword. And you know this already. He's very, very good at what he does.
He's a hell of a warrior, basically.
Yes,
so,
in effect.
Yeah, he's...
Even though, again, some of the things that happened in the last season may not quite really ring true.
I don't really know about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that, I'm sure.
All right. Nice. So, all your scenes, are they? Top five scenes?
Mostly, yes.
Right, well, I went broad. I went with, I guess there's no real comparison then. That
funny
we
thing,
make.
I went that way with the bad things. Not the bad things so,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, my number four is the villains. Has there been any TV show where the villains have stood out so well
now,
than Game of Thrones?
Yeah, absolutely. Who would you say, could you list like the main villains?
Let's go with
Joffrey,
Ramsay,
Cersei,
and the Night King. And then ultimately, you can Euron? Argue.
Euron's
shit.
He's shit, but he was the last bad guy.
Euron was kind of like... We're straying into bad here. But
yeah, no,
Euron was kind of like a pantomime bad guy that kind of threw in there at the end.
Because he was like cackling with the big mouth and the big, ha ha ha, I'm going to fuck your wife. And ha ha ha. And
yeah,
like, you know.
He didn't do it for me.
No, he didn't. He's the worst of all of them.
Yes. So can we take Euron out of the equation?
Sure.
But the ones that have been enduring for seasons on end, and obviously Cersei, as much as she becomes very ineffectual by the last season, up until then, she is phenomenal.
She is phenomenal. I would agree completely.
I mean, she blows up that whole sequence where she blows up the Scepter of the Bay.
The bomb.
Oh, my God. Literally.
But no, because we did kind of see it come. We didn't know what. But when it happened, it's like, whoa. And she's just sitting there looking at this decimation that she caused.
With some marvelous music that we will feature in the episode later as well from
big.
Ramin Djawadi, who does all the music for Game of Thrones and Westworld as well.
Oh, okay.
And numerous films.
Yeah, it's a great scene.
That sequence is, if I had to sort of give top five scenes, that's what we were doing, that would be in
What would you say?
My top five for sure.
Okay, given that this is villains is your number four.
Yep.
Who's the worst villain? Who's the most reprehensible villain of those we mentioned?
Joffrey or Ramsay?
It's Ramsay, dude.
Yeah.
I thought I hated Joffrey till I met Ramsay. This guy flays people for fun.
Arguably, Ramsay is, like I said before,
the rapist.
Yeah, he's so bad it's hard to kind of get behind what he's doing. Joffrey.
Oh, you mean better villains as in, like, yeah, I'd say the most reprehensible is Ramsay, yeah, but you might.
Most evilest.
You might enjoy watching Joffrey slightly more.
Though that's when Joffrey choked to death, how many people were not stoked by that?
Why?
Because he's such a little... I mean, he shot...
Oh, sorry, not who was stoked, you mean?
Yeah, who
loved that? Me.
Who wasn't, I was saying.
Absolutely.
Everyone was.
Absolutely.
It was such a great moment, and it was so earned. And he was so good, Jack Gleeson.
He's so good playing him.
He's
the bomb.
The people effectively chased him through the streets and made his life such a misery. He quit acting. He went back to uni to study, I don't know, business or IT or some shit.
Why? Because he was chased from the show by the public
opinion? I say chased. I'm talking, you know, in quotation marks. But people were so upset about him in real life, they couldn't distinguish the reality from the show. And approached him and spat curses at him and spat on him and all this kind of shit. So he quit acting.
Do you know, there's an Oxford interview with him where he talks about it. And this is before his character dies on Game of Thrones. And he was already in a very big academic. Like, he talked about all these degrees he wanted to get and that sort of thing. Very English. And I think that may have also been like, he was already in academic.
Maybe he was already in that.
But
mindset.
I'm sure that shit happened to him. I definitely sure that happened to him.
And then you've got the Night King as well, who there are some amazing moments the Night King had in the early seasons. And even the point where he gets flay flambéed by the dragon, and it fades away. And he just gives a little smirk.
I know. He's like fuck you.
Damn. Yeah.
Because you think if a dragon I know.
That was cool. They were all cool. And even Tywin Lannister. What a great bad guy. Charles Dance is a fantastic
actor.
Charles Dance
is the shit.
And completely sells that. And his death, again, so well earned. And as much as a book readers, we knew what was coming when that happened. Such a great moment.
The thing about it is, it's well earned in so far. It's such a horrible death to die shitting. Right? Like, by your son's hand, fucking shot by a dwarf.
That's what matters. Well, not the dwarf. Your son killing you because you've become that much of a monster.
Yeah.
Damn.
And understandable with when you find out what he did and that sort of shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely complex, good villains.
Yeah. So that's why that's my number four.
That leads into my villains. Number four, which actually is a bit broader than just a scene. The actual whole deal. First of all, let me tell you, everyone likes to rag on season 8. Is that what we're hearing online, Paul? Are we talking about that now?
For the large part.
For the large part.
We'll get into obviously more in the second half of the episode.
All right. Let me tell you now that I, go on the record, did not mind season 8. There were some problems with it, absolutely.
And
the finale, right? I liked the finale.
Finale?
Finale. Yeah. The series finale, I liked it, man. I actually, it gave me answers that I needed, and it wasn't the movie, it wasn't Lost. like the TV show Lost, which is a piece of shit.
Look, it's not Lost. It's not Dexter.
No, Dexter was crap.
Dexter is the worst finale of all time.
Yep. Okay, there's no question about that. But my number four is actually the Battle of Winterfell, and basically that whole, the Night King's death at the hands of Arya. All right.
Really?
Yes. Let me tell you why. Now, everyone's talking about how dark it was. Fair enough. They fucked up on that.
I don't agree.
No?
4K televisions, 1080p downloads.
Fucking hell. I've given him a fucking...
It looked fucking fine.
All right.
For if you watched it,
who haven't got a TV that costs the same
as the house.
If you watched
it on Foxtel with its standard def or whatever the fuck it broadcasts in, then yeah, it would have sucked balls.
So you may be the first person to not have this problem. How was it? It was all good?
It's fine.
Fine?
I can see anything. It has a great, if I can jump on what you may be about to say, has a great moment early in the battle with the Dothraki with their flaming arcs or
Arrakis.
Arrakis, yeah. Courtesy of Melisandre and the Lord of Light, go charging out across the field, and then you watch them get snuffed out.
The whole race, basically.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, except for the fact that suddenly there was thousands of them again.
I know.
We'll get back to that later.
We'll get back to that. But that was sweet because the whole reason why they shot it so bloody dark is because the idea was that these things appear from nowhere.
Yeah.
Right? And so these guys go into the dark and they get snuffed out, right?
I thought that was brilliant.
That was brilliant. I had real problems with Ghost, the wolf, being running with them. I'm like,
why?
Oh shit. Don't let your dog go. This will fucking, you know, anyway. So there's that. But more than everything, right? Here's why I got it. Like, there was a great battle. All good. Fantastic. Jon Snow a little underused. Whatever. But the reason, at the end, when Bran's about to get taken out by the Night King, and then you see just the hair of the White Walkers, like, sort of
flutter.
Wisp. Because Arya is obviously just, like, cut through somehow, got through him. And then she springs in the air with the winding, and then he catches the arm, right? Then she does the sweet, sweet shit.
Well, he catches it by the throat, right?
Throat and arm.
And arm,
He holds like that, right? She drops it, catches it with the other hand, plows him with it. Do you know what this means, Paul? This means that...
Yeah, it means that your Winter Soldier...
Obsession
has
so
played out
cool.
with another show with
Knife
Winter in the title.
Is the shit. Okay, she got some skills that pays the bills, all right? And that whole character that grows like to
Knife
that point.
Flipping is the shit.
It is the tits, man. The fact that she her drop the dagger switch hands move, not only is that the best thing ever, the fact that her sneakiness as a human and her training was the thing that destroyed the end of human civilization as a supernatural foe is somehow inspiring. Her ingenuity of being cool with a knife completely saved the world.
Right,
it
so you're
saved
saying,
the world.
Your number four best moment of anything to do with Game of Thrones is one moment where Arya drops
no,
the knife.
No, no, it was the whole fight and that being the end of it. Okay, because we all thought Jon Snow was going to save the world, but he didn't do that. Okay, that's the shit. How do you not know that's the shit? When that happened, I cheered like a bitch.
I literally turned to Patsy when this bit happened. I said, Wayne just barred up.
Because sweet moves with a knife is fucking killer, man. If you think about it, in a Game of Thrones where everything's supernatural, human skills that actually win, that's got to be the best thing, man. It's got to be the best thing.
Can I put this in some context?
Oh, please.
Wayne was fully into weaponry when we were young.
Okay, look, don't...
And he may or may not have, and I'll let him confirm or deny, thrown a knife in the air and caught it with his knuckles.
All right, look, this is a stupid little history of mine, everyone. When I was like 19, and in this case it was 15 when this happened, I was into just martial arts and shit as a hobby, okay? I also, part of that is learning to use weapons like throwing knives and swords and nunchucks and shit. And I thought one time it would be really cool if I could throw a lemon in the air in the backyard and throw a throwing knife at it and skewer it in the air. Impossible shot. I actually managed to do it when
you
it came
are
back.
A sad, strange little man.
When I did. Long story short, I fucked up it the second time and accidentally kind of threw the. Somehow the knife ended up in the back of my hand. Stuck in the back of my hand. Okay. I had to get stitches. I lost some nerves. It's one of those things that happens when you're a kid.
So basically, I think this is all about Wayne recreating that moment. Whenever time someone drops a knife and catches it successfully, does something good with it.
And doesn't fuck themselves up, it's really cool. So, but this is definitely cool.
Look, it was a good moment.
Word.
I have my major issues about that battle in other ways, but we'll get to that.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Later. Good.
All right. Well, my number three is an episode itself.
All right.
I thought this whole episode was phenomenal. It's my favorite episode of the show, full stop.
What could it be?
Season five.
Yes.
It's the point when D&D, David and David, went off track. They took one mention from the books and created something magnificent.
What?
Hardhome.
Was that not mentioned in the books?
It was mentioned, never as a point of view experience. To this point in the books, the Night King has never been seen. Or if seen, never been interacted with.
Yeah, that's right. This is where we saw him first, right?
Yep.
Yeah, good call.
So this is when we got to see the Night King's power for the first time. So it's a great scene where Jon accompanies Tormund and the like to Hardhome, which is this capital city for the wildlings.
For the wildlings, actually.
For want of any better way of putting it. And tries to convince them all to come back with him to their traditional enemies, the crows, home, and take shelter behind the wall because this army of the dead is coming and he needs to, he wants to save them. He doesn't go there in the books. They just mention that there's a slaughter at that place and that's the end of it. So D&D basically went, or Benioff and Weiss just basically said, well, let's show it.
Yeah.
And let's put John in the midst of the action.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my God, this episode, I mean, it's mostly Hardhome. Yeah, there's a little bit back in King's Landing at the start of the episode, but the last 40 minutes or so is purely this. We get introduced to this female character who's a wildling.
Who you love.
Who somehow makes an impression in 15 minutes and you're like, yeah.
And then she dies.
And she dies. She gets killed. It's a great way of doing it.
No, it's just like, oh, I like her. And she's dead.
She's dead. And when she rises back up and everything from the way they storm the walls and are smashing through it and you get to see the undead and the way their frenzied attacks are.
Oh, yeah.
To the fact that a couple of the White Walkers come down to attack.
I watched this episode, this scene right before you came over, right. And I was watching it again and I was going, I forgot how, because the thing is, it's such a bleak scene because it's so like ice and everything's this and there's kids and all this sort of shit that happens,
kids
right?
Die.
But the fact that, because the Night King is actually an invention of the show. I don't believe he exists in the books.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've never seen him.
But I don't think he's actually a thing. It's just White Walkers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's actually an invention of the show. So when you see it and you see that shit and he does his arms and then everyone just raises up at the end. And the fact that it's Jon Snow.
You're jumping ahead too far.
No, that's this year. That's this
that's
episode.
That's the end. Of, yeah, no. I'm saying you're jumping ahead too far on what's brilliant about this episode. So he tries to convince them all. They get that, the rattle, the, what's his name? The King of Bones or whatever his name is. Bone Rattler, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets killed by the White Walker.
Mm.
And then John is scrambling for his life. And when he takes Mormont's sword, Valyrian steel, and turns around and just swings it and smashes through.
That's where you find out Valyrian steel fucks these things up.
That moment is the best pinnacle moment.
It looks cool too.
Game of Thrones.
Because the guy turns the ice in after the swing. Yeah, that's good shit.
It's obviously foreshadowing what comes 3 years later.
Probably.
But that moment is just, hey, there's a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
and before it was just like, we were going to do, this is a zombie episode. No wonder you love it, man. This is a zombie episode like a motherfucker.
The absolute shit. And it ends with, like you said, the Night King raising his hands and all of them raise back up as one and just stare at them as they're
floating away. Yeah.
And we fade to, or go to the credits, no music.
Nope, that's it.
It's brilliant.
It was tough. It was actually a tough episode. You're like, shit. That's why this show was good, man. That's why it was good. Yeah.
It's perfectly befitting what we've seen, that sort of crash to the credits.
Totally.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, my number three, probably no surprises here. This is The Red Wedding.
Yep.
Now, everyone who has read the books and was waiting for it to turn up on the show.
Which is why it's on my list, because I knew it was coming.
Exactly. But when I saw it with my significant other at the time, and I was not watching the screen wolves, I was watching her just about, right? And it was just insane. And you know what? They made it so much worse on the TV show than it was in the books. In the books, there was none of this. Robb Stark's pregnant wife got stabbed in the belly. She wasn't even there.
Yeah,
but they just went all out. And I remember going, I can't believe they actually went this far, because it was really, really tough and everyone was getting fucked up. Remember those reaction videos of people just going like this around the
people
internet?
Swearing on, people swearing, fuck this show, freaking doing it this out. Again.
That was, I mean, this is more probably something of the books that came onto the show alive and made it even bigger because it was a bigger audience and a more immediate reaction.
I think even good friends of the show, So Wizard, Mark Ellis Reagans, this is the point he checked out of the show. He said, I can't do it anymore.
You're kidding. They actually put someone off the show. Well, I guess they did.
Lots of people did. Lots of people said, I'm done. I can't do a show where they just kill the good guys like this. To me, that's brilliant fucking TV making.
No, it's brilliant. If it affects you so much, I don't know, man. I know what you mean. But that whole bit where Roose Bolton's there and he's sitting next to Catelyn Stark and she sees chainmail under his sleeve and she's like, then she slaps him and he's just kind of like, yeah, well, guess what? And you know, and then the whole whatever the Lannister
Center
regards.
This, and then she slits the throat of
the throat slitting is, that's fucked up, man.
I have plenty of children. Whatever.
Oh,
yeah, it's great. A great moment. Great. This was the most memorable. I have two most memorable reading moments.
Yeah.
To go back to the books, which is what I did first. I know where I was, I know what I was doing, I know who I was with, and I stopped all of that and went and reread the whole Catelyn chapter from her point of view.
Yeah.
When that happened, because I couldn't believe that Martin.
It was impossible. It was
just wiped out Robb Stark and Catelyn like that.
You know, my number three is actually not just this scene, but that whole Walder Frey Stark as to how he fucks them up and then Arya comes back at the end. And in the badassiest move probably of all time.
Gee, you're stretching here, but go on.
Well, maybe a one thing. Maybe, sorry, I know. But it's just, I just wanted to, like, when she destroys the entire Walder Frey house with one fucking trick and a fucking poison, that's the tits.
Yeah.
So,
and well deserved. It's a great fuck yeah moment. And so it cements Arya as being such a pivotal and supportive character. Like, you're like, yeah, she's the shit now.
She's a ninja, man. She's a damn ninja.
She is a ninja. Funny you would put it that way. Okay. My number two then, move on, is the fact that the show was just as, if not more ruthless than the books that came before it. The fact that this show...
Yeah, well, I just said so, right? Yeah.
Yeah, in for everything you've just described, so yes, The Red Wedding, the show's brutal. What about fucking Oberyn Martell versus The Mountain? Where the Mountain sinks his thumbs straight into his eyes.
Yeah, he really did do that.
Like, they
that
really
wasn't in the book.
Went for it.
There was a smash in the book, wasn't
they
it?
They really went for it in this TV show. They embraced the horror and the brutality of war.
Mm.
They did not flinch. They showed it all, and that's put lots of people off. Lots of people saying, it's too hard, I can't watch it. I'll watch it through my closed eyes. I turn away, I let my significant other tell me.
Mm.
All that stuff. But for me, that's the shit. That's the way that this would actually be. These battles, this horrendous loss of life.
Mm.
And not just the Battle of Winterfell, and not just the Battle of the Bastards, and not just the Battle of Blackwater, but it's those moments of violence, like you say, with the Red Wedding, and the one-off between the Oberyn Martell and the Mountain.
That Oberyn Martell fight was just cool as shit because I did. We all didn't know how it was going to go, or I didn't know how it was going
to
go.
Well, hadn't you read the books at that
point? I think I had, but I just forgot because it looked like he was about to win.
And then again, what happens?
Knocked
in the
book. It was. Like, oh yeah, no, I did know, but that's why it really reflected in the show. Mm. I was like, yeah, you're right. That's a good one.
Yeah, so that's why. Broad, that's my number two.
Okay, well, my number two. Once again, I just couldn't put this out. The Battle of the Bastards. I'm sorry, but it's the best thing I've seen in probably almost the best thing I've seen in this show.
Can I, if I can riff off this?
Yeah,
I've gone broader again because I've gone thematic largely. Yeah, you have. Best. And it's the battles.
All the battles.
The battles as a whole. No TV show.
That's very broad.
Well, but what was great about Game of Thrones? What are you going to remember 10, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, if we're lucky enough to live that long?
Eh.
What are you going to remember? I'm going to remember this show put these battles front and center where nothing like on TV has ever come close to it.
This is the only time that a show like this could be like this. Do you know what I mean? Like if they had launched this in the 90s or something, one, it would be as good, but...
Well.
Yeah. Two, they couldn't even do the things that they're doing now because there's no like pay TV, whatever, you know. So for me, the Battle of the Bastards itself, though, I think what kind of got me about it was that occasionally up until now, the battles had occasionally felt hampered by the budget. I thought that because like some battles were in my head after reading the book much bigger than they looked before this one.
Gee, I thought Battle of Blackwater was amazing at the end of season 2.
That was, well, yeah, a bit of spoilers there, but okay, we'll talk about that. Well, I may as well tell you now, that's my number one. So we can talk about...
So you got two battles as your one and two.
Yeah, these are scenes. These are three best things about Game of Thrones.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So we agree. I'm talking about the battles overall as number one. You're specifying one and two as different battles.
Absolutely.
So pick fucking hairs there.
Bitch,
split hairs, man.
The whole thing was what things are good about Game of Thrones. This battle, that battle. If you're going to go as broad as, I think the writing. That's what you're doing. The writing was so good in this entire show.
Make it fast.
No, you're an idiot. I wanted to be, yes, I could have gone, well, my number one was this battle and my number two was that battle. But, you know, I decided to actually talk about more than just the battles, dickhead.
Well, perhaps you should have fleshed that out in the brief. Maybe you and I can have a seminar on communication and how to do it effectively.
After 217 episodes and
if it's not happening now, it's not going to happen ever, yeah.
X number of reviews, sure.
Yes, all right. Well, what can I say? This is, I mean, shit, if you're going to go this broad, the two battles I'm talking about, this one in particular, the Jon Snow rebirth after getting, like, rolled over and he can't get through, then he gets out of it again, and that's supposed to be where the battle turns.
Yep.
Yes, we have the Sansa stupid fucking shit.
I'm not going to tell you because you pissed me off.
Exactly. Sansa actually made it onto my worst of Game of Thrones, and I cut it off at the very end. I cut it off just she just made it out. But other than that, I think probably the bit where Jon Snow's facing off against all of the horses.
The horses charging at him.
I mean, that's an inspired enough idea as it is, but to pull it off in such a manner where they were, you know, they're shooting the different frames so you could see more and stuff like that. And I don't know. This is the most heroic he's ever been.
Yeah.
My opinion. This is the most personified.
Ah, no. I think when he killed the White Walker, that was an amazing.
This one's bigger than that, man. Nah. This one's way bigger. He just killed one cracker with that one. This one, he's like, I'm going to face off against all you bitches.
That was unkillable at that point. Look, both cases, he thought he was going to die. Both cases, he's like, one of them, he's stealing himself. Like, oh, well, I was dumb enough to jump out here by myself. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So it in what you're talking about, it's a moment of stupidity. When I'm talking about it, it's a moment of valor.
It wasn't stupidity. He was going for his brother, man.
His brother was already dead. You know,
he didn't know that. He was just like, don't run in the line, bitch.
No, he lost his emotional cool. And he was going to pay for it with his life.
Yeah, but then he still survived the battle and fucked people up. Yeah. So, you know, what are you going to do? Anyway.
Once again, I'm right, but moving on.
Oh, you're completely wrong. You've actually taken the wrong approach to this whole thing. But I shouldn't be surprised. Go ahead.
All right, that's it. So that's our best of list. Do you have any honorable mentions to do that?
Yeah.
We're going to be real quick because we are going to run really long this episode.
Yeah, okay. No, in that case, let's just kick on with it because there's so many fucking cool things that I wrote down.
I'm just going to say one thing. And Arya killing the phrase was in my honorable mentions, Sir Brian.
Sir Bran.
Sir Brian.
Oh, you like Sir Brian?
Yeah.
The knighthood of her, or just her in general?
The knighthood.
Yeah, it's fine.
Fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was such a... Oh, jeez, you're a heartless man.
You know, the best thing about that episode where she got knighted was Tormund, like, drinking and talking shit and then pouring out and then looking, what the fuck is that? This Sir Brian thing? Fine, whatever.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt.
I think Paul's trying to make a bit of a play to all of you SJWs out there. Maybe make it sound like he's a little bit cool with that. She just...
Amazing.
She got knighted. She cried a little bit. Where? Yeah.
Everybody had a heart cry a little bit, Wayne.
It was fine. It was fine. There's nothing wrong with it.
Unbelievable.
I mean...
All right. Well, look. Not sure what else we can say except for... Oh, hang on. I think I hear the ominous tones of...
Whatever could that mean?
The worst of Game of Thrones is coming.
Oh, yeah.
On the back of Light of the Seven.
Is that what this song is?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not let it run too long like normal, Paul.
Shut up. So here is the worst of Game of Thrones.
Well, that was worth it. Okay.
You are aware, Wayne, that in a normal episode, we do have breaks and music in between.
Yeah.
The fact that I did it live and you've now shed all over
I
that.
I actually liked it, though. I actually liked the way that the craftsmanship. I was a big fan of it. Sorry, cunt.
It was better before you stepped all over it, dickhead.
Sorry, this is the salty part of the show now, everyone. God. In case you haven't noticed.
Well, your penance can be to lead away with your fifth worst whatever thing about Game of Thrones.
Absolutely, because here's where we're going to crap on, all right? Now, my problem, and this is now a bit broad like Paul was doing in the first one.
Oh, now it's okay.
But not that fucking broad. This is my problem is the deus ex machinas of timing in Game of Thrones. Now, initially, I had no problem with the fact that in certain episodes, it took mere moments to cross the Iron Sea and get along to things and, you know, where before it took like seasons and seasons to get stuff. I was happy to see that because I'm like, you know what? I don't want any boring shit. Just tell us where they turned up and it's okay if the timeline doesn't quite work out. But I had a big problem when that stuff starts to affect how I believe a scene goes.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically about that episode where Jon and Tormund and a few of his folks went down north of the wall, up north of the wall, to try and capture a god. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Try and capture a white so he can show it to Cersei, and they don't even know if she'll give a shit. Turns out she didn't. And they go down, and uh-oh, we're having trouble here. Gendry, please go back and try and send help
Gendry?
To the town.
Gendry? Isn't it Gendry?
Is it Gendry or Gendry?
Here we fucking go again.
I've always said Gendry. Is it Gendry? What do you think it is?
Gendry.
It's definitely Gendry?
100%
Okay.
But please, go and call you Gendry.
If I was him, I'd be like Gendry. Gendry. All right, fine. That guy.
Shit.
They send him, right, to go get help. Somehow, some like Redditor has actually figured out how long it takes a raven to go from where the wall to Dany. 5 days, right? That's what it says, right? So somehow, if he's gotten back to get help, those guys have been on that rock for 4 days at least,
And they were there for one night.
Exactly, and she flew all the way. Look, don't get me wrong, it's cool that she turned up on a dragon and saved everyone.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
So you're basically saying... What, the pacing?
The pacing is... The problem is with
the
that
travel,
scene...
Are you being specific about travel or...
Timing, pacing... It's just... It seems... What happens is, right, I now don't believe that scene because I know that this couldn't have happened, so now it takes the magic from the scene. 100%
you are correct. In fact, you're so correct, you are...
I can't wait to hear what you say about it.
Not just that scene. I'm talking about... The show as a whole.
It gets to your head, right? Because you're sitting there going like, oh, but now it doesn't feel real. So,
yeah. It's a good pick. Well done. Very nice. My number five worst thing about Game of Thrones is the massive plot conveniences, especially in the final season.
What? Oh, okay. Now we're talking. Okay. Tell me.
And I did mention specifically what you just did then, Gendry running across, you know, all the way back to the wall and the Raven getting down to Dany and Dany flying back on the dragon all in the space of about seemingly 15 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But... How about the dragons going from being all like shit house and get killed with one crossbow bolt that happens to come out of the sky when they couldn't see from up there and flying above?
You're getting into my... Yeah,
to next episode being so fucking powerful that 7 million crossbow bolts couldn't possibly hit them if they're trying hard not to be hit. And then destroying an entire fucking city. Like, it's seemingly the dragon powers were suited to the plot.
Well, you know, funnily enough, that is actually my number four.
Oh, okay, yep.
It says, it's the idea that those scorpions had any hope of hitting a dragon in midair, okay? Especially from the distance where it did. Now, remember this, Rhaegal...
Three times.
Rhaegal is just flying, right? And by the way, there's no way you can't see ships if ships can see you.
That's my point.
Okay?
You're up there in the sky.
Plus you're like 5,000 meters.
In other words, that it's a little dot they're aiming at, but you're like, look down like, oh, look, there's some toy boats on the fucking...
Exactly. Yeah. And, by the way, no test shot. The first fucking round hits him, okay? Okay, and then takes him in the head right second. If you look at these scorpions that those guys have... Look, actually, let me tell you this. When I was a child, in Australia, we don't have many guns. But in I had an air rifle, and I used to sort of trap shoot by throwing shit in the air and shooting it, right? I can tell you that unless you have the maneuverability of a gun and something as fast as a bullet, you're not going to hit shit. These guys have a scorpion bloody thing, which it takes...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous that that wouldn't happen.
And I get it. They had to kill off a dragon because two dragons is too fucking powerful.
Exactly. They're showing threat. They're showing the threat. Right?
But, like, it's so badly done.
It is. And that's why I was a little bit happy at the end of that season where the dragon fucked everyone up, yeah. Even though it was, like, tough, you know, to sell.
But that's... But like I said, again, it's the power of variability that bothers me a lot.
It has to be consistent. Yeah.
All right. How about how they handle Bronn? Like, Bronn turns up with a crossbow bolt, points at the two Lannister boys and says, make me a fucking better offer or I'm going to kill you all.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're in the middle of a fucking castle supporting these two. What are you going to do even if you did shoot them both? And you'll shoot one and obviously you'd shoot Jaime first. So Tyrion's just going to stand, and you probably kill Tyrion as well. Do you really think you're escaping out of that castle?
I actually think, given that
why they didn't bring it to a head there. But the moment he walks out of the room, it's like, yeah, Sir Bronn of the Blackwater, yeah, rest in peace. What? And the entire castle descends on him, and he's going to. It's just dumb.
No, the dumb thing also is that, like you said, if they make the deal and say, hey, don't kill us, we'll give you a fucking lordship.
High garden.
Yeah, walk out, guards. What?
That's what kill I'm saying. Kill that guy. Exactly. It's really
then
shit.
Then they don't have to give him shit. That was a bit crap.
I want to come back to what we alluded to earlier. The Dothraki and the Unthali, to a lesser extent, are decimated in the battle against the army of the dead. Like, we're talking stragglers. Like, a few Dothraki make their way back inside Winterfell. And then two episodes later, suddenly the Dothraki have enough to make, like,
enough
charge through the city and cheer. And like, there's hundreds, if not thousands of them.
And let's not forget
the Unsullied, there was even, like, it was...
There were billions of the Unsullied.
It was ridiculous.
And let's not forget that Dany is addressing these billions of people without a megaphone or anything.
She's just talking.
Hi, everyone. Like, everyone can hear. Yeah, whatever. It's
hot chick talking. Yeah.
Do you know that's called plot armor? They call it when people survive. Like, for instance, even the Battle of Winterfell, all the main characters almost survived, right?
Yeah.
That's plot armor.
Yeah, for sure. And there were moments like, how
like, Jorah shouldn't have even made it.
How the fuck does Sam live through that shit?
Sam's supposed to be the maester. You know what I'm saying?
I know. But he was in the middle of the battle and was covered in the undead when Arya does her thing.
And... Yeah, that's true. And what about, since we're talking about, like, you know, contrivances and bullshit, Bran, at the end, needs a master of whispers. Why, Bran? You know everything that has ever happened in the history of time. It's just this weird thing.
Yeah, and I'm going to come back to Bran and when I talk a little bit more about another big thing. One last thing I want to say. I found it awfully convenient that the obvious solution to the Dany and John problem, once it was known that John was a Targaryen as well, was we're not going to try and marry them. That is the first fucking option that would have come. Now, okay, clearly the show made a point of saying John couldn't get down with being down with her because it was an auntie.
Yes.
And of course, we in this world understand that. In the world of Game of Thrones, where
Targaryens
incest
marry, exactly.
is just like what happens every other week.
Well, hang on. Do you think that Jon couldn't get down with her because of the auntie thing?
I think so.
Or was it more he started to disagree with the policies? Or was it a bit of both?
Yeah, maybe it's both. Maybe
I don't know. I don't know. But like,
point is though that the two smartest characters in the show, Varys and Tyrion, both like Tyrion floats it for a half a second, and Varys like, nah, never happened. Like, what? Why not? You dickheads.
That was the...
That's the answer here.
That's the biggest thing. The thing that... With Tyrion all of a sudden being stupid.
Yeah.
And Varys being, I've served 20 different kings. How are you not smart enough to not get fucking killed? You know what I mean? Like, you just don't talk shit, so...
So that's my big problem with... Especially the last season, the massive plot conveniences. That's my number five.
All right, not bad. Let's see. Well, I told you my number four.
That's your fault? All right, my number four is the complete disregard of certain characters' arcs. In the last season.
Like what? Oh, okay.
In particular, Jaime and Cersei.
Now, talk me through why this...
Oh, and by extension, Brienne.
Really?
Jaime and Brienne had built this perfect relationship, which culminates in the moment, which I said was a wonderful honorable mention for the best ever in the show.
The knighthood.
Where Jaime knights her.
Sure.
It's brilliant. It's such an emotional payoff. It's a perfect conclusion to their relationship.
Sure.
Maybe there was something there, really. This is what she coveted. He gives it to her.
Are you talking about the knighthood or his dick?
No, the knighthood.
Yep.
They survive the battle, and for some peculiar reason, then he feels the need to give her his dick, which is then completely undone about 17 seconds later when he decides, well, I need to go back now and save Cersei.
That whole thing, okay, that whole thing where he's like, in the end of the last season, he's supposedly incensed so heavily that
I choose to fight on the side of the living.
And probably get killed. He wouldn't even know if they'd let him in, right?
Then and he knows that Cersei sent Bronn to kill him.
Exactly. Then he sleeps with Brienne one night and goes, I'm going back. That's some bad pussy. All right? Like, like, you don't just flip and go back to banging your sister. You must have had an extremely bad night. I don't know what happened to him. You're right. It was very difficult.
It's awful. And then, so seven seasons of character growth are undone in that particular moment. Mm-hmm. And then double down on when he gets caught by, which you don't even see, he gets caught by Dany's forces. And she knows somehow he's bad now because he's back down there. I don't even understand that.
Yeah.
Then Tyrion makes a decision to let him go to somehow free Cersei as well.
And then
he just watched her chop off the head of someone, knowing that she would incite a war.
Yep.
None of it makes any sense. It's completely against all their character arcs.
What do you think happened? Because apparently this is how George R.R. Martin supposedly ended the show. He's talked about it.
We'll see. Now, there was a prophecy here, which was that she would die at the hands of her
Azor Ahai. No, it wasn't
something about a brother. So it was like, would it be Cersei? Technically, I guess his hands are resting on her shoulders. She cups her face as the brick and mortars all land on them and kill them both. I don't know.
That doesn't quite fit. That doesn't quite fit at all.
I don't know. I think they're being playing very fast and loose. But again, I'm going to come back to that in very short order. Mm. So, yeah, really. And Cersei, like, she was so ahead of everything. She was so sophisticated in her planning. She had the wildfire. She blew up the Sept of the Baelor. And she was constantly one step ahead of everyone. She's reduced in season 8 to basically standing there with a cup of wine, which is hilarious, by the way, given that she's all about it. Maybe they don't know that alcohol's bad.
Alcohol's bad for kids, I know.
But if they do, she's just sitting there swilling alcohol, looking out of the city of King's Landing for the entire season 8 going, I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, and cut off that girl's head. That's all she does. Yeah. She becomes this really shithouse villain in the last season rather than being this sophisticated, very intelligent person who's going to win.
Did you think that her, because she was like, hey, I'm going to win, and then the dragon fucks everything up, and she's like, uh-oh, and then she basically falls to pieces, and then she sees Jamie. Now, did you find that too quick?
Yeah.
Like, is it like?
Yeah, I found it too quick, and I found her death to be completely unsatisfying.
Yeah, fair enough.
Not at all. Like, Ramsay Bolton's was a good death.
No, she deserved an ugly death.
Yep.
Ramsay Bolton's was the best death on the show in terms of satisfaction.
Yep.
So, absolutely. Okay,
all fine. Right, so that's my 4.
Cool. My number 3 are the goddamn sand snakes. Including Ilaria Sand, their shitty mother. Okay? Now, Oberyn's bastard daughters, it's a little bit of a draw between the book and the show here.
But in
the book, they were considered just dangerous. There were supposedly these 3 sand snakes, literally don't fuck with them at all. In the show, they became like, first of all, they were crap. Like, they were just crap. They were just cruel. They were just horrible people, and they would just do horrible things like murder Trystane and be very flippant about it, or whip heads out of people buried in the sand, and it was just completely nothing. And I remember that even the nonsensical changes that they made, like, the whole Dorne storyline doesn't make that much sense. It's like, killing your own family to get revenge on people who killed your own family? Brilliant. Why would you do that, Ilaria Sand? You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make sense at all. And I think a lot of people crap on these people, on the sand snakes. I hate them, and I am glad they all got toasted in the way they did. I think they all should have gotten taken out the same way Cersei did that last one. It was just a shit bunch of characters that I never liked.
Okay, fair enough. Can't argue too much. Yeah. I mean, that was fine, but that whole... In fact, I would go further than the sand snakes and Ilaria. Is that her name?
Yeah.
I would say the whole Dorne subplot was really weak.
Well, look, Oberyn was cool.
Apart from Oberyn.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Apart from Oberyn.
Yeah,
after Oberyn was gone, like, you know, we get, what's the name, the Lannister daughter? I can't remember.
Mycela.
And basically, that's how she dies. Other than that, it's...
She's just in, she dies, that's it.
It's pointless.
It's to show that Cersei does, in fact, lose all of her people, you know, but...
Yeah. Her kids, yeah.
I know, bit naff.
All right, my number 3 is the build-up and then the letdown of the Night King as a threat.
Really?
Yeah.
So wait, why? So obviously we knew the whole time that he's supposed to be the big bad, right?
7 years, Wayne. Yeah. I waited for the Night King to get this side, the south side of the wall.
Mm.
Yeah. So the Moby song gets fulfilled. We're on the south side.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, here's some carnage. This is going to be amazing. We get one castle he pedals through and kills and puts someone up against the wall in some weird concentric circle, which never gets explained. But
You're talking about the Battle of Winterfell? Or in general?
And then, well, I'm just saying, overall, like...
Oh, yeah, the patterns? The swirl
patterns? The swirl pattern never gets explained.
Never gets explained.
Yeah. Then we get to the Army of the Dead arrives at Winterfell, and we get this big epic battle.
Yep.
And which Bran says he'll try and kill me because I am the keeper of all knowledge and I know everything happened in the past and apparently everything will happen in the fucking future. More on that in a moment. And then... in perhaps the worst efforted attack ever known to the history of humankind.
Which one?
Instead of waiting around and starving them out because they're dead. They don't got to starve. Just fucking surround the castle and let, you know.
Yeah, but that's a boring show, otherwise.
It is a boring show. Yeah. But, like, this is supposed to be some super sophisticated bad guy who's had eons and fucking whatever to plan his revenge. He throws all his forces in at once, storms through the crowd, isn't smart enough to have one dude guarding his back. It's so fucking lame. It hurts.
I think the idea here, though, is that the Lion King is so good. One, Dragonplane doesn't really fuck with him, so I don't think anyone's going to fuck with him, right? But he did have people at his back. He had the White Walkers there.
Who let Arya jump between
because
them?
Because she's the shit. No. That's why she's the shit, see? Because she's ninja. She fools death.
One idiotic fucking mistake undoes 7 years of build-up on the show. Like, could we not have had...
What would you prefer?
I think the Night King should have been the big bad. I think Cersei should have been dealt with first.
Ah, this is interesting because I like the fact that they shut down the Night King in the third episode made it political. Because that's really what the show's about.
And it's called Game of Thrones, so sure. I can't argue there. But for me, what's satisfying for me would be, in the end, the living unite, the rest of the living. Had they taken care of Cersei first in some big battle, and then it's an all-in. This is everything's on the line right here.
Mm.
Everything wasn't on the line. Had the army that they'd rolled through Winterfell, there was still most of the land left. Do you know what I mean?
I get it. I mean, I do understand because you're sitting there waiting for something big to end on.
Well, for me, it's a little bit like you're chasing this incredibly hot woman for years.
Yeah.
For years. You have spent, you know, trying to get yourself into her good graces. You know you are punching above your weight. You know she's much better than you have any chance of being.
Sure.
Right. But if you stick at it, you might... You never know. You just never know. It's a 1 in a million chance, but it just might work. And then, in my analogy...
I can't wait.
She says yes. It's like, oh, great. And off you go. And you get into the bedroom or wherever it is. And, you know, she's getting down. And her body's even better than you could possibly imagine. And, you know, you're fumbling your way out of your pants. And then you just jizz all over her stomach.
So you're saying the show shot its load too soon?
Yes.
Well, see, the thing about that analogy, Paul, is you can't wait for the Night King to get married and pregnant and then divorced. You're going to take him when he's there. I know what you mean. I know what you're saying. But yeah. But I don't know. See, if you wanted to flip it
the other way. I wouldn't be an episode of Countdown if we didn't get crewed at some point. I was letting Wayne run way too long.
Thank you very much. If you couldn't make the Dany storyline happen before the Night King, though, could you?
I get where I'm going with the Dany storyline.
Yeah. But I see what you mean.
And it wouldn't work the same way. And again, I guess in my perfect world, Dany and Jon and even Cersei might have aligned somehow to take this out. And they all survive and then they turn on each other or whatever. But I don't know. That wouldn't. I just like the idea.
You're
that
not alone. A lot of people are pissed about this early resolution.
Because that supernatural threat, I thought the point was there's more than just your bullshit Games of Thrones. More than just the bullshit politics. There's a greater thing than who is ruling. It's life. And that's what I thought.
The guy at work said the same. He says, the Night King's the only reason I ever watched. I'm like, okay.
I'm not going that far.
Some people are like that. I totally think it's the other way. I'm the other way.
Yeah. Yep. And I respect people who go, but that was a big disappointment. And even had we had, we're really spoiling my number one. But had we had two extra seasons of them running rampant through the north and destroying shit left, right, and center and offing a few minor but important characters, this would have been okay.
Totally.
But because it all happened in one fucking battle, one moment of, jeez, I'm let down, it really hurt.
I understand. And it's got a little to do with my number two. Now, this is one that everyone's been talking about, and I'm telling you something specific about it. It is Dany's Mad Queen turn in season 8. But it's not...
I'm okay with this.
Really? Because here's the thing. I don't have a problem with her massive change in behavior. I don't have a problem with that. Because it's been a little bit littered on.
Has been alluded to. It's been hinted at time and again.
Right. So I don't mind that. Here's the bad thing about that. The execution therein.
Yeah. Okay. It's too quick.
You know what? I actually had the answer to this. Like someone, I think Ash, like one of the listeners, sent in a recut of the scene where she's on the tower, the bells are ringing, and then she decides to just kill everyone. And someone's cut together flashbacks where like as she's getting angry and angry, you see Melisandre getting beheaded. You see Rhaegar getting killed. You see all the...
Melisandre, what's her name?
Oh, not Melisandre. Melisandre. You see all the bad things that happened to her, people not liking her, the times that all this shit went down, Khal Drogo all the way back, and then she goes and apes out of everyone out. That's the problem. Now, I'm sure using a flashback in a show like Game of Thrones is a bit crude, but there was another solution that they needed. If you're an editor looking at that scene...
Too quick. Again, the big problem with the show is the last two seasons were just too quick. Things weren't earned anymore. They were plot-driven.
Yeah.
The characters ceased to matter. The plot was everything.
It seemed like Benioff and Weiss were like, oh, we're at the end now. You know, because they ordered six episodes, not seven.
I'll address.
Right, come on that.
But you are 100% right in that it happened too quickly, but the fact at least it was hinted at. At least it was lit. Whereas my argument for like the whole Night King being killed so quickly was just like, big battle dead.
Well, there was the
big battle dead.
The foreshadowing episode two, where it was just people sitting around waiting to die kind of thing. You know what I mean? That it was like the night before their battle.
I liked that season.
I liked that episode.
I thought the first two episodes of this season were fine.
Yeah.
And some people were complaining, look, it's not moving fast enough. But then when it did move fast, it just moved at light speed.
Way too fast. Yeah. It moved way too fast.
So, and I think if you go way back in our archives, I think we reviewed season five. And I think my complaint was Dany's spending too much time in fucking Essos and around Slaver's Bay. And Arya and her training's taking too long.
Yeah.
I wish for those times again.
It was top heavy back then, we thought. And then we didn't know. You gotta be careful what you wish for, man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. My number two then is really, this really hurts me. And in particular, and I'm sorry, we've done a good job, I think, so far of not comparing too much to the books, but here we go.
Yep.
The magic side of things in this show was really, really badly handled.
Explain.
Overall. Let's start with the direwolves.
Yep.
Now, I understand the budgetary constraints, but the direwolves are such a huge part of the books, and they were given such short thrift.
I agree.
In the TV series. That's a problem.
They're one of the best things about the show.
About the show or the books?
The whole story.
Well, and they just
sorry,
got
the books. Yeah.
So much so to the point where, yeah, you mentioned John not saying goodbye to even
you
ghost.
You do not kiss your dog if you see him.
And then they do address it in the very last episode, at the very end, but it's
almost too late by then. He could have died in that fucking battle.
Nymeria was just running rampant. Never got to see her again. That's ridiculous.
Well, the scene where she does actually meet up with Arya. And then she says
season seven,
something like that. And then she decides, come with me, girl. And then she walks away and she goes, I get it. That's not who you are.
Still would have been cool, though, to have her pop up at some point.
Absolutely. Yeah. Save her or something.
Yeah, and then disappear
cool.
again. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That would have been, and I reckon that's where Martin's going in his books. Because the wolves represent the Stark children.
Right.
So Sansa's wolf was killed very, very early, Lady or whatever the hell her name is. And she becomes the least Starkian of all the Starks.
Yeah.
Rickon is very, very young, much younger in the books. And
he does
dog,
with his wolf, though.
Shaggy Dog. No. In the books, he's still alive.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Shaggy Dog goes sort of wild and feral because Rickon's nature is that he's not grown up enough. He's just responding to the loss of his mum and dad.
Mm.
So it's much better thought out in the books.
Yeah, you know.
It's better plotted. Then how about the Lord of Light? Did we get...
I don't know where that went.
What's his prophecy?
Azor Ahai?
Azor Ahai?
Like, the prince that was promised?
Is that Arya?
Is that fucking Jon Snow? We don't even know.
That's my point.
We all thought it was Jon Snow.
It just gets abandoned and nothing happens. Melisandre says, you know, comes in and lights up all the Arraks.
Yep.
And you know, pushes Arya to her destiny to kill the Night King. I guess that's implying the Lord of Light is real, but is her power like a cleric's derivative of the god, or is she a sorceress who's just had this in her head the whole time? But that doesn't really marry with Thoros of Myr.
Yes.
So none of this is explained. Yes. Like, Lord of Light just gets dropped like a hot fucking potato.
Too inconsistent and no resolution. Also, Melisandre just fucks off, takes off the necklace and dies.
Yeah. And
what's that?
Is the Lord of Light good or not? I don't understand. Like, the god, it wants to burn Stannis' child at I can't remember her name.
According to her, yes.
At the stake to give him the power to become the Lord of the prince who was promised.
Yeah.
But what kind of good god burns children at stakes? And like, none of this is explained.
Actually, old gods always did that, where you sacrifice lambs and shit like that. True. But more than
that. But that would have been better to get some kind of concrete answer. The Lord of Light has driven all this. Or the Lord of Light was a fucking made up thing by a few people who had some magical powers of their own. I don't know.
And I don't... That was it, though. At the end, we needed to see the end of that prophecy. But George R.R. Martin talked about this, and he says, the thing about prophecies is you don't want to be too literal. I'm like, yeah, but at least put it in there.
Give an answer.
Yeah, give me something.
Give a fucking answer. Even Arya's training, for all that time I just said she spent... Yeah, she kills Walder Frey and all his descendants. Never uses them again.
The face thing.
Like, yeah. That gets dropped like a hot potato as well.
Yeah, but then again, I am glad for no Mission Impossible moments.
I disagree. I spent so long building it up. Yeah. Give us some more, please.
I think the idea here is that the best thing about the Arya storyline is that for like three seasons, she's becoming this person. So it's a very earned that she's a ninja or whatever, right?
Yep.
And then, yeah, like you said, like she doesn't even get to kill Cersei and all this sort of shit that happens. I mean, I know. That's a problem.
And then I'll give you one more and then we need to move on because we are running really long today.
Yeah, we talked about this.
Which we kind of thought would happen.
That's kind of cool.
What the fuck was Bran doing during the Battle of Winterfell?
You know what he was doing? So he's walking into a crow.
Yeah. And he flies over the top of the Night King on top of the dead undead dragon.
Yep.
Done. And I deliberately left a pause there because he does nothing else.
Okay. I was reading up on this to see what was going on here.
Yeah.
All right. He reckons, this Isaac Hampstead, whatever his name is, right?
Right.
He says that what Bran was doing was just surveying things. And the idea here...
But he needed to be reporting back and showing it.
Well, the idea is that because he's the fucking three-eyed raven, he knows what was going to happen anyway. And he was using the crow to check and see that all the things were supposed to...
Why?
He was being Doctor Strange.
If you know what's going to happen, why are you checking? It makes no sense. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's so much so that I hoped against hope that there would be some kind of last fifth or sixth episode backflip where... The Night King went into him, or he did end up being the Night King, which I think was a potential prediction of
mine. I'm glad that did not happen.
But I wish something, because his powers were so fucking bullshit, and you're in the just flying off while having a this was fun on this fucking crow, yay! It's shit. It's really, his powers were shit. And all the way through to the point where, at the very last episode, where, of course, Bran the Broken becomes the king of the Six Kingdoms,
yeah,
he says, why else did I make the journey down here?
Right. Now it becomes an agenda that he has? What's that shit?
And does that mean that he foresaw the destruction of hundreds, maybe not hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands of people, the deaths of them at King's Landing, and just let that shit happen?
Absolutely.
So he's no fucking better than a Targaryen.
Well, more importantly,
he's this power-hungry little monster.
Well, he can't even make a good king because he says shit like, I don't really want anymore.
He's got no emotion.
So if you have you got no emotion. Yes. He does. And if people come to him and say, listen, this guy's trying to rob my thing, he's like, I don't give a fuck what you people think because I don't want anymore.
On that basis,
you can't be the king.
Awful decision. Like I said, magic is so mishandled, particularly by the end of the show. It's very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
That's okay. My number two.
All right. My number one is very simple for that complex shit we've been in. I hate the Ironborn race. Okay? I hate the whole fucking race. You can call me racist if you want, but they're white people, so it's okay.
You're Ironbornist.
Exactly. I'm an Ironbornist. They're all shit, worthless. They live with a shitty island with bullshit rules. In particular, Yara Greyjoy, or as I call her, Skanko Shitface. This entire race of people live by this bullshit moniker of what is dead may never die. More like what is shit is totally uninteresting. What they do is they fucking...
What is shit is fecal matter.
Exactly. They induct you into their clique by drowning you in the sea, and then they drop your carcass on shore and see if you somehow come around of your own accord without resuscitation. You know how many times that would work? Fucking zero.
Does that mean that, to throw to our review coming up, does that mean that Aladdin is an Ironborn?
Oh... No, it's just shit. But that's the other thing. Like, first of all, that wouldn't work because if you didn't, you know, if that's how you make people, then most of there'd be like 10 people, 10 Ironborn living, right? But they're on this shitty island. They've got the Balon the father. He's a piece of shit. When he gets his son's dick mailed to him, like by Ramsay, he's just like, oh, well, he can't give me kids anymore. He's a real asshole. Then he pieces out and goes and fucking falls off a bridge. And then Yara Greyjoy. Oh my God.
Who, according to the Masturbators podcast, the actor who plays her is a bit of a bitch
is
in
she?
Real life.
Well, then I feel better about saying all this shit. She's a straight up rubbish human being because not only is she cruel for cruel's sake, she actually loves reaving. Like, she loves killing and raping.
She leads on Theon at one point to try and want to fuck her.
That is the worst thing. When we see her, she fools her brother into touching her titties and burger while on a horse, and then in front of his father says, by the way, you just tried to fuck your sister. Is this funny? This is not funny.
Nope.
That's not I'm a man with a sister. This shit ain't funny. No,
I don't have a sister, but
I got two sisters. It's fucked up. Okay, let me tell you. And she's a one-note character. And did you know this? Lily Allen was offered the role.
Yeah, because Theon Greyjoy.
And she said, no, because I don't want him touching my titties. Well done, Lily.
Yep.
Keep singing that LDN song. It's cool. All right? It's cool. But I absolutely hate her.
Fuck you. Well, that song goes. Yeah, look, if I may summarize with the soundboard your opinion of the Ironborn.
In your general direction.
Absolutely. They live on an island with no beaches. What a shithole.
Well, look, it's a good number one. Well, I'm surprised it's so high. You
I hate. I've always hated her.
My number one is what you already said was your number five. It's the pacing of the show, the last two seasons in particular, and especially season 8.
Do you know anything about this? Why would they go?
So this is what I wanted to allude to. So D&D,
yes,
have a deal to develop Star Wars films.
Oh no, are they finishing work early? So they can do a better thing next time, which
they're on bored. A big project, right? It is the equivalent of being on a big project, being offered this huge multi-whatever fucking squillion dollar deal. And I understand it. From their point of view, of course they take the job.
Because they're bored of Game of Thrones after 8 years.
But here's my issue. Why not then just go, okay, we've got a whole bunch of producers, executive producers who work underneath us, handing the reins over to you. We're going to fuck off now and we'll consult.
Mm-hmm.
We'll consult. You call us up. You need an answer to a question. We'll give you those answers. We'll come along to the big production meetings, you know, 2-3 times a year.
Yeah.
But we're out. Here you go, next tier of producers. Now see the show through to what should have been 10 seasons at least, maybe 11 or 12.
Yeah.
No. They wanted to retain the reins. They were the ones who said 7 and 6 episodes in the last two seasons.
So not enough.
It's not been enough. And there should have been at least two
and
more
seasons. It feels like it too.
And I feel like there probably should have been 3 extra seasons. We could go into that, but we won't because we're out of time. So they didn't want to let go of the reins, and they've dragged this show down. Now, maybe the actors wanted out as well. Maybe after 8 years of this, they were done and dusted, sick of being in the snow.
Yeah, they might have been, but the actors would have been like, look, if it's all wrapping at the same time, let's shoot until it's good, you know? Like,
I think this show easily would have carried on. So it's Benioff and Weiss's, this is their issue. They were the problems in the end. They wanted to rush everything through, and that's why it stopped being a character-driven show and started being plot-driven so we can get from A to B to C to finish.
Yeah. You know what? That is actually a very broad bad thing about this show, dude. Okay, you win.
You've heard it here first.
You can win. It's fine.
There are our worst and best of Game of Thrones. It's been a huge episode.
Oh my God, it's so long. I'm sorry, everyone. It was too long.
Look, it's longer than our recent episodes have been, but we've had a couple of really short ones, so that's more than fine. And I think it's to give 8 seasons worth of description and discussion to get it down to an hour, 10, hour, 20. That's probably pretty special in any case.
Good. Can I just tell you, ask the audience one thing?
Sure.
Can anyone tell me why Jack and Hagar just let Arya Stark walk away from the Faithless Order? At the end, she finally says, not I am nobody. She says, I'm Arya Stark of House Winterfell. Fuck you. And then she just walks out and he's good like, point. Word. He actually smiles a bit as well. I don't understand what that's about. Is there something that I don't know? It's just
is
weird.
It relate to Lord of Light again?
Who, yeah.
He ultimately knows. Now she's fulfilled her destiny. Who knows?
But
who knows?
Yeah. Anyway, go on.
All right. Well, that is our best and worst. Let's hear a bit of yours in our segment, which wraps up every episode, The Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
this week's Pop 10 with a good friend of the show, patron of the show, Lenny Salter. Now, here's what he said on our Facebook listener community. Fuck, 2 of the best episodes of any TV shows, season 4, episode 8, The Mountain and the Viper. What a phenomenal episode.
Oh, yes.
That has a masterclass in how to subvert an audience's expectations. And season 5, episode 8, Hard Home. Yeah, Lenny! What a crazy action-packed episode that gave us a taste of what the White Walkers were capable of. Whilst that didn't pan out well, see my worst. The Jon versus Walker duel was spectacular and gave me chills the whole time. And the Night King raising his arms, pure jizz.
Absolutely.
Worst, the shortest, longest night. Seriously? One night? The Whites and Walkers are defeating the first proper battle? They pretty much became a plot point for Dany's massive army, of Dany's massive forces to diminish. Even then, she has a massive army again a couple of episodes later. So all the things I was sort of touching on. What a waste. No Jon versus Night King duel. Most of the main characters survive against insurmountable odds. Seriously, Sam has 3 or so Whites on top of him, and then he just survives somehow. Sam, of all people.
Plot armor.
Lyanna killing the giant white was boss, though.
Right.
That is such the best response, I think, that we received. Lenny, you could not have echoed my thoughts more accurately.
Now I see how Paul made his list.
Eat a dick. From Troy Spinner, who, of course, is from the Comic Confidential podcast, who's we're part of their network. Do check out the boys. They have a great show. Best episodes like Hard Home, Battle of the Bastards, and The Reigns of Castamere are literally some of the best TV episodes
you're ever
likely to see. Worst has to be Bran the Broken as King. What in the actual fuck you fucking fucks? Troy, summing up a lot of fans' thoughts there. From Cameron Petty, the best Amazing moments. Ned's death scene. That is a huge moment.
Dude, are you kidding me? That knocked me out.
Hodor's death scene and the Mountain versus Viper, including Tyrion's trial. Worth Sansa breaking from the Seven Kingdoms while at the same time not being made Queen of the Seven Kingdoms by the writers. So she said we're succeeding effectively. And got made a king up there, but not down. So Cameron's basically saying she should have been king of everything. Queen of everything.
But then her brother was king. I don't know. Anyway.
Short episode run for the final two seasons. What a ridiculous rush that was. And you'll like this one, Wayne. He's number three worst. Euron Greyjoy. Horribly underdeveloped and terribly cartoonish.
Absolutely. He was a caricature.
Can I give a little shout out here? I got this from the Game of Thrones spoiler chat, which is part of the Comic Confidential podcast. There's a great gif here, which has a picture of Cersei standing there going, I blow up the Sept of Baelor. And then a picture of Danny going, bitch, hold my Starbucks cup. Of course, with the cups Starbucks, that popped up through the season. I thought that was worth mentioning. From Caleb Edward from the Netflix and Spill podcast, best Battle of Bastards, Peter Dinklage, and King Bran. Fuck you. This is the best possible timeline. We should have gotten more time with him, though, because it did come out of left field.
Totally.
Worst, Jaime suddenly banning 8 seasons of character development. Euron Greyjoy being a convenient plot device and not a real character, condensing last season too much.
Yeah.
So agreed. Again, pretty much everybody's on the same
cut. Too short.
Yep. From Joe DiCarlo, the best, Battle of Bastards, Hard Home, and anything involving Daenerys except the series finale. The worst, whatever that was with Dawn. So again, he's acknowledging how badly Dawn was shortchanged in the TV show. Number two, the Battle of Winterfell was kind of a wet fart. After 7 years of build, you can't see shit. Barely anyone dies and the Night King goes out like a bitch. And then that's it. And then finally, Danny gets done dirty in the series finale. He was really dark that she got killed like that.
Really?
At the end.
Mm. Different kind of episode for sure.
From Anxiety podcast, the best was Tyrion. Worst was that season 8 felt rushed. This is over on Twitter. Would have waited 3 years for longer and a seamless ending. So in other words, give us 3 more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Then from Sam for the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast. Looking forward to being on their show next month, and they're going to be on ours as well. Best, Brienne getting knighted.
I was wondering where you got that from.
Fuck you. Worst, poor finishing of threads. I'd rather be upset at how they end, i.e. Ned, or satisfied Joffrey dying, than just sitting there going, okay then, that's over then, huh? Right, okay.
Mm. Yes, short thrift.
Nick H said, the best acting, casting, special effects, production design, season 1 to 4, and dragons. The worst, GRRM, and not finishing the books, leading us to 2 to 3 years of fan fiction that seems to please no one.
Mm.
Yeah, I see that.
I don't. I still like the show overall, but yes, it had problems.
Yeah, obviously we're saying we do like the show overall, but yeah, annoying in the same sense. Ashley Gorski, previously of the Rabbit Ears TV podcast, now features occasionally on the Netflix and Spill podcast. All things Tyrion.
Yeah.
That's the best.
Is that your favorite character?
It's pretty high.
It's tough.
I'm really glad he survived.
Arya, maybe.
Arya, I do like Jon Snow.
Of course you like Jon Snow. He's awesome.
Tormund is my favorite sort of side character. I'm really surprised he lived, but I'm really glad that he did.
Syrio is my favorite side character.
Gee, he went out early.
I know, but he's so cool.
Etienne Fillion Xavier, the best, the characters, the writing, the production value, the worst, the fast travel, the writing, and the lighting. Season 8, episode 3 in particular. So there you go again.
Hmm.
And then lastly, from Comp My Pod podcast, the best, Sansa getting Winterfell back and killing Ramsay. The worst, giving female characters unnecessary love stories and fuck scenes that did absolutely nothing to drive the plot.
Like who? Or even like the sex position?
I did ask her. She said, Dany and Daario, Dany and Jon, Brienne and Jaime, and Arya and Gendry.
They were just fucking. People
I would fuck. Say the one exception to that, I think Dany and Jon did drive the plot, so I don't agree there. But the other three, I totally do agree. Like, what did Dany and Daario do? What happened to Daario?
Daario, the whole thing about the Dany and Daario thing was to, I don't know, it was like this worship-type sexualized kind of relationship. It's to show that she had actual loves and experiences. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
Brienne and Jaime, you can't argue with that. Terrible fan service. Terrible fan service. Well, they should never have slept together.
Yeah, agree.
And Arya and Gendry was weird and wrong.
No one wants to see Arya's titties.
So
okay,
I totally see where Sarah's coming from there. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And that is it for this week's Pop 10. Thank you so much to everyone who got back to us with their responses. Sorry we couldn't get through them all. We really, truly do appreciate all of the feedback.
Thanks, everyone.
And wow, we have run a little bit long, but yeah. How do people get in touch with us to give us their feedback on the show, Wayne?
Google the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We're on Twitter at thecountdownpc. You can also, of course, hit us up in our Facebook listener community and do check out the website that we are represented on, ccradio.com.au, for a bunch of other great shows there as well. Comic Confidential, Potterheads, and some new shows joining the network. Believe, and some new shows joining the podcast in short order. All right, that is it for today's episode 217, our last Game of Thrones episode that we will ever do, quite sadly, as much as we shat on some things.
We shat on some things, sad. But I'm going to miss it.
Me too. I absolutely am. Next week, Wayne, what are we doing for episode 218?
We're going to do a top 10 last 10 show.
Indeed, we are. Last week we did say that we would be doing that today, but now we're doing it next week because we wanted to get a Game of Thrones in a timely fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So 10 films we've recently seen, not linked by any other factor than that. We haven't spoken about in the show, ordering them from worst to best. I'm going to be doing a special IMDb Top 250.
Boom. That's going to be something.
Edition, so 10 films from there that I've never seen before. Wayne will just be happy to make 10.
Happy to make 10, that's right. You know how long it takes to watch a shit ton of movies?
Well, anyway. Speaking of Wayne, and to wrap up the episode, please. The movie watching challenge with our good mate, Dan Hendo from the IMDb Journey podcast. Numbers are in, and I'm updating. I'm pleased to update them today.
Oh, how's it going?
As it stands, well, 3 hours ago, give or take, when I last checked, Dan's on 246 films for the year.
God!
I, extending my lead, am on 300.
No way!
Doop, doop, doop.
We're not even halfway through the year.
Yep.
You've done an average of 200 a day. I'm not very good at
math, averaging two a day now.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Fucking hell. Wow.
Two a day at present, and I plan to continue that along. Dan apparently has a whole bunch of time coming off up off work where he plans to watch 7 a day and catch up to
what? You're both machines.
I am going to do my best to keep my lead until I get to my next holidays in about 6 weeks or so.
Can't believe this is happening. Okay. Good stuff. Good stuff.
That is the end of this week's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And we will catch you next week after you hear from, of course, the soundboard.
Damn it. I thought we were out without that.
How did I not play that
till now?
Totally appropriate.
Fuck us.
You are the best listeners around, see?
Okay, good try.
Thanks. We'll catch you next week.
Jon Snow, Johnny Jon Snow, Johnny Jon Snow, Jon Snow, Jon Snow, Jon Snow. Danny, 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 fucking Darian, fucking Danny, Darian, Tormund. Giant Rain, fucking Plowman, Tormund, Rory, Tormund, 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 big ass beard, yo, what's round? Howdy, hound, hound, howdy, hound, 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 hound